Okay. We're going to start in the Old Testament. The outline I have, because I found out, you know, we can write down things and, you know, I got a slip of paper and this type of thing to help remind me what scriptures to go to. So I guess you can call it an outline. But I found out that the best outline for the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen? You know, it's God's Word says this. I quote a scripture from the Old Testament. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. What Jesus had said, now let me correct that. What Jesus has said. I knew I'd get a smile out of Mike with that. He said when he was here on earth, and I quote, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are those which speak of me. See, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can get saved in the scriptures. You can get saved by the Word of God. In the Old Testament, go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. For a lot of us, a familiar passage of Scripture. And if you're not familiar with that, I'm going to break it down as God gave it to me. And you will understand and you will be familiar with it before this night is over. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I've heard some preachers, not here, but maybe some pastors, and when they'd read, well, almost any scripture in the Bible, they kind of go over it quickly. It's like they want to read the Word of God to you. That's what the Bible is. But see, to me, the Word of God should not be read quickly. Anytime we read the Bible, we need to first pray. Because, see, the Bible says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's use, for example, John 3:16. Just for an example, it's not the teaching tonight. But let's say I was telling you, I'm going to teach you what God gave me in John 3:16. And I say, John 3:16 in the Bible, and the Word of God says this: For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, now you got that? Most of you told the truth. She's saying, no. That would be in English or in Spanish. But see, I think it should be read for God. And I might say, y'all, say amen. So loved the world that he gave. See, this, the Bible is the Word of God. We have to understand that. I've heard people say, well, the Bible is the best literature book there is. And it is. The Bible can actually be entertaining. And it is. You can preach from the Bible. You can teach from the Bible. I don't know of any other book that's nonfiction that has more truth from the first word to the last word. The book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. I remember God laid it on my heart, and I had a devotional with my kids when they were small. And I said, we're going to study Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And of course, in the King James Bible, the Word of God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then I told them, because the Holy Spirit laid on my heart, I said, if you go to an institute of higher learning, UCLA, Cambridge, Yale, Brown, you know, all these different colleges. First of all, and that's not the teaching tonight, but I am teaching the Word of God. First of all, if you studied the history, man's history, on these higher learning colleges, elite colleges, it would shock you. I was shocked when I first learned that they all started out as Bible institutions. That's like Providence, Rhode Island. When Roger Williams first came from England to the United States, and it was a desolate land, all wilderness and all of this type of thing. You look at it now, it's hard to believe. But he named it God's Providence. In the Bible, it's called Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. And he knew that God had provided this area for those that were exiled because they didn't want to be Catholics. They didn't want to follow the king's religion. So the king in England said, you don't want to follow me? Get out. He thought he was sending them to their death. And I can imagine when they came over on ships and they stepped on land and looked and there was nothing. And the people were discouraged. We might as well go back to England and do what the king said, because at least our sustenance was provided. I can hear Roger Williams saying, God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, which means God or the Lord will provide. He's providing me with his word. He's providing you with health, mind, body, and strength. Now, some of you might say, you know, well, Brother Leon, I am kind of sick. I have one or more diseases and this type of thing. If God had not ordained for you to be here right now, not to hear me, oh, my God, let me not give any glory to myself, but to hear, and I don't deserve it anyway, but to hear. See, I get excited about this, where God has shown me favor because I know that he loves me and he loves every one of you. And I said the words of Isaiah. God said, whom shall I send? And I said, I'll go. Send me. But God said, but these are people that I sent my son to die for. I said, Lord, I will go and send me. I can guarantee you one thing. God would not change my voice. He will not take away my personality. If I decide to make a joke, and it's not about jokes, but he will allow that also. But let me tell you what he told me, and it's in the Bible. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, one man a long time ago argued with me. He said that verse means those Greek scholars that wrote the Bible. Yes, it did. But it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. So it applies to me today. And I said that in starting in the context first, because the Bible says, somebody that don't know me, because I say it a lot, almost every time I preach, they might say, well, he wants us to get that first. No, I'm quoting the scripture. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, I mean, it's nothing wrong with preaching. Preaching is kind of taking the word of God and expounding it, putting it in your own words, proclaiming it, shouting it like Jesus. But at the same time, okay, you don't change it. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. It's just like when you got little kids and they, mommy, daddy, what is that? Okay, you don't only tell them what it is, but you explain to them. You ask them to ask questions. You question them to just make sure that they understand what it's all about. That's what a pastor, that's what a preacher does. I'll speak for myself. I never, even using the word of God, talk down to anybody. What I'm giving you is what God gave to me first. I learned, and I'm still learning. So I'm just basically sharing with you from the Word of God what God has given me. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. The Word of God says this also. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. It means if you want to privately interpret it or not, preach the word. I am honored if you've heard me before and you like my preaching and you wanted to come here and hear what I got to say. But I challenge you, if I would do this and you see that I'm not preaching the word of God, I don't think Pastor Kewen would mind me saying this. If you actually see that, you detect that, the Spirit lays on your heart. I'm not talking about little phrases, anything, but in general, I'm not preaching the word of God. Please get up and walk out. Because I need to know that. Because we preach, and this is a verse in the Bible, matter of fact, it's 2 Corinthians 4:5. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Cristo Jesus Jesus. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. And the word of God says this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That verse alone from the Old Testament, if you can get somebody to break it down, if you can get somebody to understand, if you can just read that to somebody, as I just did, with the moving of God's Holy Spirit, it can set them for all eternity. Because it's talking about God, and it's preaching Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the name of Jesus, I've preached and I've spoken already, Lord God, but at the same time, I've prayed this and I've prayed this and I've prayed this in secret that you would reward us openly, Lord God. I've studied to show myself approved, not to these folks, but to you, Lord God, a workman that needs to not be corrected. Oh, my God, I believe this, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness. As there's men of God here, and as I'm the preacher and teacher now, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Lord God, I don't take my soul or anybody's eternal soul here lightly. So help me, if you haven't done that already tonight, with the fullness of thy Holy Spirit. Lead me, guide me, direct me, chasten me. Oh my God, work with me. And if there be anybody within the sound of my voice that does not know the forgiveness of their sins, you said this, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh my God, I pray that that soul will not put it off. I don't know people's hearts. I'm a man, and man looks on the outward appearance, but you look on the heart. If it would serve that purpose, if you would use me in that mighty, miraculous, and eternal way, oh my God, the course would be set. Or maybe they are saved, but they need to be restored to a place of fellowship. We'll cover those scriptures tonight as we move right along. Lastly, in this prayer, Lord God, in this message, I know this. I do all this talking, but you must increase, and I must decrease. So I pray that you would grant me that even now, even at this very moment, and I'll give you the thanks and the praise. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. And it's to you be all honor and glory now and forever. Let the church say, amen. It might sound funny to you, and of course I'm using the English word. I don't know how it's said. I should have looked it up, but in Spanish, but you can offer that if you like. But the title to my message is a very small word, a very short word. A two-letter word, if, I-F in English, if. It almost seems to me insignificant. But when God says it, it's in the Bible. When God says it, oh my God, when Jesus says it, it's about one of the most important words that could ever be spoken. Turn in your Bibles to the book of, in the New Testament, 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. Look at the first word of those three verses. And I'm seeing others. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. It starts with if. And the word of God says, if we. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth. So we're not doing what Jesus said. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Now look at verse 7. But if we, see how important that word can be in the word of God? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Because what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now look at those next three verses that I've referenced. It starts with if. And then it says, if we. As best as I can, such a short word, as best as I can define it, it's kind of saying, if you're going to do this, it's going to make a difference. If you are not going to do this, then you might as well close your Bibles. If I was preaching, you don't have to worry about these ifs, then I would invite you to go ahead and leave. Because I'm not preaching the word of God. But look at what it says. It says in verse 8 of 1 John. If we say that we have no sin, we go through our days, excuse me, and we might get down on our knees at night or sit on our bed or whatever position we take, and we pray. I don't know, but I've done it before. I said, Lord God, I thank you that I have not sinned today. And if you can feel that way, if you can say that to God in private, it's a good thing. But the word of God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive. That word means we kind of fool ourselves. We trick ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Why? Because God said this. All have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. That's before you got saved. But I can guarantee you this. However short or long you've been saved, if you open to those words in the Bible, before you got saved, it says all have sinned. After you got saved, it says all have sinned. Say you've been saved 10, 20, 30, 40 years. God's word doesn't change. All have sinned. That's why he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now let's jump down to verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now, it's that not that God lies, but you let God be true and every man a liar. If you're not in agreement with God's word, it's just like calling God a liar to his face. And if you can actually do that from the heart, then you can't be saved. Because when the Bible says that Jesus died for our sins, you can't. God's word says, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. So that means you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Now let's look at verse 9. We're in 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, that word means acknowledge. That word acknowledge means that you know. You say, sometimes I'm not sure. You need to know because God said so. I thank God that salvation is not about our feelings. Salvation is about the word of God. See, we need faith. And it says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh. Okay, come on, give me. Where does faith come from? By hearing. Okay, don't hold it back. Tell me what I got to hear. Hearing comes by the word of God. When you read your Bible, when you study your Bible, when you pray to a holy and righteous God, and the more you read, the more you pray, the more you come to church, the more you fellowship with fellow Christians, God said, love not the world. You will increase more and more and more in faith. See, the word of God says this. You don't have to turn there, but I got it marked in Matthew 22:14. Many are called, but few are chosen. I heard a man say many are cold and a few are frozen. They are stuck in a rut. You know what a rut is? You know, a hole you can go down as deep as it goes. But a rut is kind of like a hole, but it can be long and extended. Or even this way. So sometimes you up and sometimes you down. And then sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. But you never get out of that rut. God says broad is the way of destruction. And there be many. And that word many in English has the word any in it. There be many that go in thereat. But straight and narrow is the way of righteousness. And I used to say that it says straight and narrow is the way of righteousness, and there be few that find it. Now, maybe it says that somewhere in the Bible. That's where I got it from. But where I last looked at it, it said, and there's few. Or I said, there's few that go in thereat. But where I looked, it said, there be few that find it. How do I find this, Lord? He answered me. Now, people say a small, still voice spoke to them. And I don't know. I won't question them. That might be God. But how do you know for sure? It's in the Bible when I tell you God told me. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, church, y'all say amen. Not even because I asked you to say it, but because I'm quoting scripture and what it says in the word of God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. First First Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Hold it. I must have the wrong. Hold it. Okay, there it is. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Remember, he said, if my people who are called according to my name will humble themselves. Now, the Bible says they were first called Christians at Antioch. Are you called by the name of Christ? That name Christian means Christ-like. In the Old Testament, when God says, if my people, he's talking directly about the Israelites, about the Jews. But in the New Testament, he's talking about people that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord, God, and Savior. You might be saying to yourself, yeah, well, I already did that. Then you're one of God's people. Y'all say amen. God has accepted you. Now, let me talk about myself again for a minute. Nothing good have I, whereby God's grace to claim. But I've done this. I've washed my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus, that's a song. Paid it all, and it's all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. It says in verse 6 of 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves. You know, it's the greatest word to me that's synonymous with humbleness, given thankfulness. Because when you tell someone thank you, that means I didn't know I needed this, or thank you for helping me. But we forget to thank God. I've seen this amazing rescues on TV, and people will climb the side of a mountain. I'll never get why they want to do that. Or a cliff. And then they'll get stuck. And they would perish. They would die. If they didn't get rescued, and then they rescue them and the cameras are rolling and they say, well, what do you say about your rescue? They say, I want to thank the rescuers. I want to thank them with the helicopters, the ropes, the training, the expertise. They had to suffer things and they had to do this and that and the other. And I just want to thank them even if they had dogs to find them. I want to thank the dogs. And I'm sitting there watching TV and I'm like, oh, I'm upset. You said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Not once will they say, I thank God. Think about it. They're thanking dogs for their life. But that, I say this reverently, but that dog, those rescuers, those helicopters, those ropes, are none of that sent their son to die for them. None of them. What's so wrong with saying, even on TV, I thank God. Who do they think gave them rescuers, for example, even that dog, breath in order to do what they did for them? I don't have anything against thanking the rescuers and maybe even the dog and all that stuff. But when you don't put God first and you're going to leave God out, you are sinning. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Look what it says in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Casting all your care, all your care, all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may hurt, seeking whom he may wound. No, the Bible says seeking whom he may devour. In Jeremiah, the word of God says, it's but by thy mercies that we are not consumed. Thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. It talks about the devil. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, how about prayer? God says it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. That don't mean starve yourself. That don't mean doing your husbandly or wifely duties, going to your job or driving or eating or whatever it might be. But I can tell you what it means. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, God's word says this: be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about it, don't fret over it, don't get confused. But the word of God says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. I want to emphasize that, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I'd love to be the one telling you this. I love to be able to say, Mike, here's what you have to do. But Jesus, Jesus Christo told me this first. So I'm going to pass it on to Mike, and I'm sure he knows it, but I'm going to pass it on to Mike. I'm going to pass it on to all of you. Seek, that means to look for, and be diligent with it. Don't stop. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, whatever it might be, will be added unto you. See, a lot of times I know what I've done in times past. I've done it the opposite. I seek first what I wanted, and then I'll pray about it, and I expect God to supply that need. Well, see, I heard a man say, God is not a genie in a bottle. You ever heard that story? They had Aladdin's lamp. They rubbed the lamp, appear genie. And this smoky figure with big arms and all, turban maybe, comes out. And he says, your wish is my command. That's not God. That is not Jesus. But when you're a little kid and you see that, I remember I used to think that, Oh, if that's only true. Sometimes they'd find the lamp on the ground or in the garbage can. I'm walking around there looking at garbage cans, wanting to find my genie. Yeah. Yes, sir. See, if the devil can, he will make you stupid. Forgive me for being so plain with it. But God's word says, if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. See, we got, how can I know? We have to go by not cartoons, but we have to go by the word of God. We're getting ready to close. In our text, in our outline, it says, turn. That means to repent. Jesus said these words, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. A lot of preachers don't like to preach that because it turns people away. He says, you know, you just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior, and you'll be saved and you're safe for all eternity. Now, that statement alone is true. But the greatest act of repentance is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior. Why? Because what repentance is you turn away not only from yourself, your want to's and ideas. You not only turn away from your sin, but you turn away. Because see, a lot of people do this. They turn away from self. They turn away from sin. And they say, now I got God's favor. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Now I am saved. No. God's word says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not what you did. Even if you said, I now accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, God, and Savior. Okay, that's good words, but it's not what you did. It's what Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus. I can't say it enough. You might say, well, so it ain't about me or what I did. No, it is not. It's about what Jesus did. He's the one that hung on the cross. He's the one that suffered and died. He's the one that shedded his precious blood for the remission of our sins. It says in, I believe, because we just studied that, in 1 John 4:15, if I got scripture reference right, the word of God says, whoso confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. If we truly believe that, it can be just that simple. Then it says in our text, God will hear from heaven. We say what we call the Lord's Prayer. I think it's really the disciples' prayer. But how does it start? We say this. Jesus gave us that outline. Our Father, who art in heaven. It says in the book of Colossians, set your mind on things above. And not things below. What do we do with things below? God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A stumbling block for me. I need to get right and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. If believing in Jesus, because he paid it all, doesn't got me saved, then I can't be saved, and I don't know who else can. God's word says he will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. Forgive your sin. That's the only way you're going to get in heaven. That's why Jesus suffered. Just why Jesus died. The Bible says that's why Jesus shed his precious blood. And then he was declared to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection. I mentioned it before, but this is where this verse comes from. For God, not just loved the world, but for God so loved the world that he gave. Let's hold it right there, because a lot of times I go real fast through that. That he gave his only begotten. No, that he gave. Stop for a minute. You should be questioning God, especially if it's your first time hearing this. You gave what? Now you move on. His only begotten Son. That's Jesus. But brother, I would never tell you. I got skeletons in the closet. You don't know what I've done. I know that God does, and he ain't going to accept me. I've said it before I got saved. I've said it when I got saved. And I even said it after I got saved. But you know what? Somebody might would have asked me, who? I said, me, chief of sinners. You know what they said to me? They said, so? Don't you believe in the word of God? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, see, we get more understanding. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, who? Jesus. See, we got to stop right there. That's who it's all about. And whosoever believeth in Jesus, and then God didn't say, well, let me check you out. Maybe you got eternal life. Maybe you had it, and now you found it again. Or maybe tomorrow I think I might save you. In the King James Bible in English, it says hath. That's present tense. That's right now. You say, well, that was written a long time ago. Guess what? It still applies today. If you believe, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It means every day, you got to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, the shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We got to dress up. We put on clothes every day. I don't think anybody here is going to go running out in the street naked. And if you would, this time of year is too cold for all of that. But at the same time, we got to put on our spiritual armor, because that's in Ephesians chapter 6. And the word of God says, be strong in the Lord. And then finally, I'm going to appeal. I looked up the names of God, particularly in the Old Testament. You know, one of his names is Jehovah Rapha. It's spelled capital R-A-P-H-A. No, it doesn't mean, I ain't going to lie to you. When I first said Rapha, I said, hold it, something wrong. They calling God a rapper? You know, you know, and the singer, okay, that's stupid. Rapha, it means Jehovah Rapha, because Jehovah means the Lord. In any case, Jehovah Shalom, that means the God of peace. Jehovah Nisi, that means the God our banner. Jehovah Jireh, that means God will provide. Jehovah Rapha means the God that heals. I don't know about you, but I be needing healing. I pray in that name every single day. But I don't forget to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Because God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You want to please God? You got to do it through his son, Jesus Christ. But in closing, we're going to go and we're going to review and back at Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Go to James chapter 5. This is our last scripture. James chapter 5. Let me get it here. Verses 13 to 15. The Word of God asks a question. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. Actually, it's none of my business. God knows. But I will. Is any among you afflicted? Look at what God says. Let him pray. Might have said it like when I first heard it. It can't be that simple. Ooh, no. If you got a Bible in front of you and you read that and you say it can't be that simple, you just call God a liar. Word of God says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. That's why we sing in church. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So I don't really know what psalm to sing. They got a book in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It starts with Psalm 1. And it goes to 150. I use psalms almost every day. It's not about me. But I use psalms almost every day to pray. One time my daughter a long time ago asked me, she said, Dad, how do I pray and make it not like a hypocrite or vain repetition? I told her in the Word of God, I found the answer. What better words can you get? The Bible itself says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't you like to be a holy man of God or a woman that speaks as you're moved by the Holy Ghost? Use the Word of God. Read it. Let God speak to you. And then you speak back to him. Now you might say, well, yeah, but some passages are so good, I'd be wanting to say them again and again and again. You know something? Yesterday is gone, banished to eternity. And tomorrow may never be mine. The Word of God says this, give us this day our daily bread. It don't make no difference what you said yesterday. And you might not live to say any more tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Then verse 14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I remember Mike used this a while ago in his preaching. See, Mike, I don't forget. I keep mentioning his name, but, you know, this is not about me. This is not about Mike. But I do know something about Mike. I know something about all you. We need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. That means if a person that believes in Jesus even dies from their sickness, they're going to be resurrected. They're going to be raised up again. And look at what happens. And if he have committed sins, that means he's sick or afflicted because of a result of sin. They shall be forgiven. I think we did the outline and we covered all the bases. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this privilege, this opportunity, and this time to uplift, to glorify, and to magnify thy precious name, because thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. As we go our separate ways, may we be realized that we are one in the mind and the body of thee. And I pray, if thou wilt, that we could rise up in the morning to a brand new day, looking forward, Lord God, to what thou hast in store for us. And we give you the thanks and praise. Thank you for using me, because these souls here are so, oh, so precious, because you, Lord Jesus, suffered and died and shed your precious blood for each and every one of them, Lord God, even I. And we give you the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.